Hotel keys and cigarettes, I don't buy no Marlboro Reds. Found them lying underneath your dresser. Cheap cologne, never clear. You can't hide the truth, my dear. I'm no priest, but I'll be your confessor. You got a monkey on your back, black cat got your tongue. Telephone in the living room, snakes are gonna up and run. Slip out the back and try to act like a love. It's never gonna come. Something different on your kiss. Didn't used to taste like this. Barely shy of catching you red-handed. Sleeping dogs are gonna lie. I just can't abide the way you've been taking me for granted. Got a monkey on your back, black cat got your tongue. Telephone in the living room, beating on a woman drum. When you cut that grass, snakes are gonna up and run. Slip out the back, try to hide it like a lord. On your back, black cat got your tongue. Elephant in the living room, beating on the woman drum. When you cut that grass, snakes are gonna up and run. Slip out the bag, try to act like a lord. Like a lord, never on.
Red-Handed by Taylor McCall on the Hippies and Cowboys podcast. Today is Friday, September 24th, 2021, and you are listening to episode number 119. My name is Garrett McKee. I'm one of your hosts, your other host, Mike Hart. We'll be joining us in just a minute. And our guest today, Taylor, has a record out today, and that record is called Black Powder Soul. As always, we are brought to you by our friends at Workman's Relief. Go to workmansrelief.com. Check out their top-of-the-line CBD products that you can get at an affordable price. Go get you some of that CBD tincture or some elbow grease. It's like a icy hot, except it doesn't stink or burn, and it works great. Go get some CBD coffee. That's a must-have every morning. You can get all that stuff and more at workmansrelief.com. Use our promo code HACCBD for 15% off your entire order when you check out. We are also brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, baby. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer. That's right, the Lawnmower 4.0. This is the fourth one. Join over 2 million men worldwide, including me and including Mike, who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for listeners to this podcast. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code HAC20 at manscaped.com. And I put that in the description to the podcast. Seriously, you guys, this is the best trimmer that I have ever had. I would buy two, one for your face and one for your body. Seriously, this thing's unreal. You don't even have to plug it in for charging. You just set it on the trimmer, completely wireless charging. It's quiet. It has a flashlight on it. I kid you not, there's a flashlight on the thing. Unbelievable. Once again, that's manscaped.com. 20% off and free worldwide shipping if you use our code HAC20 at manscaped.com. go get the Lawnmower 4.0. Tell them we sent you. Without further ado, once again, our guest on the podcast today is Taylor McCall, and he just dropped an outstanding record earlier today on Friday, September 24th, titled Black Powder Soul. And we would like to thank you for tuning into the podcast. You can support us and what we do with the show and everything else on patreon.com/hippiesandcowboys for as little as $1 a month. You can help support us, and we appreciate your help. You can also go to thehippiesandcowboys.com to get merch and check out everything else we got going on. That, of course, doesn't cost anything. And right now, it's about to end right away, but I will plug this one too. We are doing a giveaway with a huge merch bundle on the website to raise money for Tyler Childers' Hickman Holler Appalachian Relief Fund. All of the proceeds for that merch giveaway will go to that charity. So go support that. Check it out, thehippiesandcowboys.com. Enjoy our conversation with Taylor McCall.
I think my favorite bit from y'all so far is when y'all messed up with Brent and said sucking on their toes. That was
hey, that there was no mistake.
We didn't mess that up. Yeah,
y'all didn't mess that up.
No,
so that was hilarious though.
It was like 3 days before we went on. I had photoshopped his album cover to have Brent actually sucking on toes. And I've changed the words.
That is hilarious.
And I think Garrett was kind of mad at me because he thought Brent was going to cancel because I made that joke, because it's kind of weird. But
nah, it's funny as shit.
But yeah, so I referenced that in the episode. He's like, wait, were you the one who made that?
Oh, man. That's funny.
Sucking on their toes.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't play that song on guitar anymore without saying it that way.
It'd be like that. Once you hear certain things, even of my own songs, it can be like that.
That's well, funny. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. We're
thank y'all for having
almost
me.
A month to the day away from Black Powder Soul, September 24th.
I noticed that today. That's freaking awesome. I just got my physical record copies in hand, and it's a great day to see that, man.
Badass. You got the test pressings or like the real deal?
The real deals got in today, so nice. I laid my eyes on them for the first time, and I don't know, it's special, man. It's a lot of loving discipline work going into that, and I don't know, we work so hard to do these things, and it's easy just to, I don't know, when you get the damn lottery ticket, just to look it over sometimes. But I don't know. I definitely don't feel that way. You know, I try to sit down with it and be like, man, think of all the nights I was up, you know, 4:30 in the morning while most people are sleeping, you know, just hustling on what I love. It's all come to more than I could have ever asked for. So I can't, no complaints here.
That's badass.
That's got to be a relief to have the vinyls in. A month before the album releases too. Like,
oh, I know there's great, man.
We've some major delays right now.
I was ready to go. We wrapped this thing up in 2 weeks in November, and I was ready to start the second one when we got out. So it's all looking forward, man. It's just nice to have things on time and just no pressure and no rush. You know, we try to run our ship like we, you know, want to be treated and try to get things done on time for people and whatnot. So it may change one day, but not right now.
it's good to be ahead of schedule, like Mike said, with all the delays with vinyl right now. And it's like, just going back to what you said about all the details too, like there's a lot of fine details that go into even making the whole sleeve and everything, the album artwork, the photo shoots, just all the shit that you got to get done that goes into making a record that you don't, I mean, even I don't even really think of a lot of the time, to be honest with you.
Even just having life experiences that are become part of that. You know, there was a couple songs that they made the record. I have over 150 to 200 songs that I was, we'd narrowed down to about 30.
Wow.
And had to pick from for these. And it was one of those things that was like, I don't know, man. It's, there's some of these songs that's just like, man, that's, a, I don't know. It's cool. It's like, I remember where I was when I was at life, at life's, you know, mountaintop or low of low, you know, it's all in there.
You, that's gotta be quite the, man, that's gotta be quite the process trying to narrow down from 150, 200 songs into just to put out a record. Like,
yeah,
what do you do with the rest of them now? Like, are they going to go into the next one? Like, where do you go from there, man?
I don't even know. That's like the thing is I just make so much stuff that it's like, eventually I'm like, hey, I really, really like that. Or like, I really do not like that at all. And after 2 years of just doing that with pure intention and no ego and just throwing pain at the wall, man, we came out with some Gunslingers and some Heartbreakers along the way. And that's what you kind of need, I guess, for a decent record is it's a little bit of both. It's a little departure from my earlier stuff, but hey, I just started doing this 3 years ago from scratch, really, and not knowing to this day, I don't know how to play technically really anything. And to go in and make a project like this with Sean, just me and him playing everything, you know, that takes it back to like when I made Southern Heat, you know, it's the same process. Yeah. My own parents didn't hear me sing until I came out of the project and had funded everything myself. And it was just like, I'm going to do this. And they're like, what? You don't even sing. You're crazy. You know, but you know what I mean?
Wild,
what are you doing? You know?
That's wild.
Yeah.
No, I'd say you have a quite a unique sound here, Taylor.
Thank you.
And I tried to describe it myself, but it's like you're watching an old Western movie mixed in with some rock and roll. And I think that's a pretty great combo. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that's like kind of what I took away from it.
I feel like this record, if it's got an essence, the sonic landscapes, this like, I don't know, cowboy from hell, kind of like vigilante, cinematic blues rock devil music all in one, you know.
Oh yeah. It's a great
description. There's a good title out there for it somewhere.
Hey, Black Powder Soul ain't bad.
It kind of hits it. Yeah,
kind of hits it. And the album album artwork on top of that kind of hits it for sure,
man.
Oh yeah,
I have that piece of art. That's my favorite piece of art I think I've ever seen in my lifetime. I've had it for 2 years from this artist Brett Herman out in California, and I always knew I wanted to like use that piece of art, but like I couldn't find him or get in touch with him. And finally it was like 2 days before we had to submit, and I was like, dude, I've got to get this guy. And somehow I got in contact with him, and he, in freaking fast turnaround, was like, yeah, we'll make it happen. And
damn,
for him to go out on them for me and already being, you know, first Rolling Stone feature for him, that's a lot too. So I was like, it's glad, you know, to be throwing a bone here and there and to throw it back. You know, that's what I love to do, is just, I don't know, you give me a chance, so I'm gonna give you, you know, I'm gonna prove you right.
Hell yeah. This is, I mean, like you said, it's not really the first full-length release that we've heard from you, but it's the first one, I guess, that what you described, kind of the one, maybe one that you've, you know, kind of taken, I guess, taken your time with, maybe, or taken more, if I don't, yeah, taken more seriously sounds kind of bad. I don't mean it like that, but I think you know what I mean.
It's I didn't have the fuel of, like, it became my discipline when I came up here, you know. Early on, it was like riding from pure, you know, whatever was channeling me, but now it's like taking that and meeting it halfway, and it's like you can really hustle. It's like you hear so many people stories that they want to come to town and be a songwriter. It's like I never like wanted that, you know. I never thought I would never read in front of class back in the day. I was bashful as hell. It's like it was one of those things that channeled me, you know. I said, you know, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I'm gonna work them Elon Musk hours and go to the top with it, you know. Or at least try.
I got you. Like I said, that
just because it's all uphill from hanging sheetrock, man. That's the way I meant hustler's mentality I have about it. It's like nothing wrong with that. I worked my ass off back in the day, but it's like,
no shit,
we get paid to sit in air conditioning rooms. Why am I not going to work as hard as I can? Picking a guitar. I mean? Yeah.
Beats the shit out of sheetrock, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially right now in this 90-degree weather, man. That's too hot. I was thinking about songs and shit, and they were like, what's wrong with you, boy?
Something wrong with that boy.
Yeah.
That's sorry funny. About the background noise. My girlfriend just dropped me off some dinner. So if you heard a big crash,
you're not even on videos. So you're just going to be sneaking bites of the entire time.
Ah, she didn't bring me silverware, so I'm not going
to.
I'll wait.
I guess you're shit out of luck then. What is it? Can you eat it with your hands?
No, it looks like some kind of spicy
gravy.
Pasta. I don't know.
Gravy.
Gravy. You could be eating gravy with your hands right now and we wouldn't even know it.
It'd be super weird if you were.
Let's take it back, Taylor, to you said it wasn't too long ago, a couple of years that you kind of got into music. Walk us through how you ended up deciding to go that route and saying the hell with manual labor jobs. I want to do this.
That's where I was kind of at like a dark place in my life, like the last 4 months of like 2017, and nothing was seemed to go my way. I was just lost and just not in a right frame of mind and not sure what I was going to do. I just left Montana. I thought I was going to be a fishing guide for the rest of my life. And I'm far away from all that, driven 3 days drive back with all my shit and kind of given up on my childhood dream in a sense. And I was like, what am I supposed to do here? It was very, very weird. And I don't know, I just kind of prayed about it. And I was like, man, show me what I'm supposed to be here on this earth for. And, you know, that's when the music door started opening up. And not too many gambling men, even myself, would have said, you know, hey, take this kid that has never sang for anybody, hasn't played a cover song in his life, you know, and to write songs, to come to town and pursue music. Like, that seems like a foolish, what would be in many eyes, a foolish decision, but it's what was meant for what I was supposed to do. And I couldn't be more proud that just thinking of those dark times of just like not even getting out of bed. It's like to think of the journeys and the folks I've met along the way, because the music door, I opened it, you know, that's where it all kind of started, and it's all universally fell into place, man. It's a very happy, very, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And it's very good.
So you hadn't written at all, really, before you moved to Nashville, before Southern Heat.
I wrote those seven songs for Southern Heat. And then pretty much the first time I came to Nashville, that first day recorded the full Jericho Rose project and shot the music video, and then kind of left town. And then come that September, I had a publishing deal with BMG. And man, moved up here. I actually waited a couple months and saved up some money. And I always said my first little bit of money, I'm going to buy me my customized Dreadnought guitar. And I kept told true to that. And now I have a really custom Dreadnought guitar, and I moved to Nashville. So I took the living expenses of those couple months and just kept living at home. And I was writing a lot of this shit, like living at home still, you know, my parents and hours of like them not being there. You know, so it's like finding weird windows, because as a creative, you know, especially in the early stages, it's like when someone comes into your bubble, you know, when you're trying to do something like that, it's like, it's like you not only get sucked out of that zone, but it's like, I don't know, you caught someone with their pants down in a way. It's like, oh, you know, I sound like this behind closed doors in a way. Yeah. It's like, it's just a lot of that for, I'd say, for my anxious and I don't know, my character trait. It's a lot of just kind of, just facing the dragon a lot of the times, and some of the best things come from that.
Wow. That's impressive. So Southern Heat, like those seven songs are basically the first seven of the first, if not the seven songs
I ever had written. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Pretty crazy. Impressive. You know, Jericho Rose would just follow that. So whatever that count would be, you know, seven plus five.
Plus five.
And then, I had 2 years in my whole lifetime to write Black Powder Soul, but really just 2 years. You know, I had the living experiences of that's what first and foremost, you know, I've realized a lot of this process is you've got to live to write the song. You can't just sit in a damn gray box and write about heartbreak or write about, you know, you can't be a blues man and you know, 66 degree weather room. You got to sweat a little bit. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah. Man, that's very impressive, because those first sets of songs are, you know, you, if you would have told me that, you know, when I first listened to your music, I probably wouldn't have believed it. And I will, everybody can go back and check. Episode 2 is when, I don't know if you remember, I hit you up a long time ago and asked permission to play your music on our show on the second episode of this podcast. Yes.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Here we are. This has been a long time coming.
Wow. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah. And then
I knew you guys, listened to you guys, you know, as well. And I'd checked I think the most recent one I've checked out was the Brent one. That one was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. That's a favorite for most people, honestly.
Yeah, we've kind of got to know each other recently, and I don't know, just kind of knowing him and hearing y'all's talking about sucking on their toes. I can't get that out of my head.
So we're about probably getting close to the halfway point here. Why don't we jump into our second song, then we can talk a little bit more about Black Powder Soul after the break. But the second song we're going to play, I think we decided on So Damn Lucky. I don't know if you want to tell us a story about that one and give it a little bit of an introduction.
That one's got a good story. The first day I'd met Sean McConnell, I was completely dry of running my creative juices dry that week. And I was like, fuck, I've got this right with Sean. And I didn't know really the gravity of Sean. You know, it's a lot of these people that I work with that, you know, would maybe sometimes, maybe not, but like people would be all in their head. And it's like, I always come in with a clear head. It's like, I don't want to look people up. But I was like, I hear this is a big, big right. You know, so it's like, I'm going to come in with something good, but I don't have anything. I was walking up the stairs and it hit me out of nowhere. It was the first four lines of this verse. And it just fell out of the sky the next day when I brought it to him. And he was like, man, I've got to record your record. After I heard the demo of it, I was like, yeah, he's the one.
Sober up, settle down. You should be gone by now. But you're not. Don't know how I got so damn lucky. I'm just like my old man. Mama tries best she can. You like her a lot. Don't know how I got so damn lucky. Somebody said love is patient and kind. And everyone tells me it's so hard to find. Maybe I can't explain it. I don't know why. I'm so damn lucky. I'm a coin on the ground. Don't know why you bend down to pick me up. It's just my luck. I'm so damn lucky. Somebody said love is patient and kind. And everyone tells me it's so hard to find. Maybe I can't explain it. I don't know why I'm so damn lucky. I love you in my way. You know what I'm trying to say. I may choke on my pride, but I know that I'm so damn lucky. Somebody said love is patient and kind. kind. And everyone tells me it's so hard to find. Maybe I can't explain it, I don't know why. So damn lucky.
All right, that was So Damn Lucky by Taylor McCall. Taylor is still hanging out with us. We haven't scared him off yet. You mentioned earlier that you kind of went into some co-writes and stuff, and having, you know, just what we learned from you in the first half of the podcast about how you, well, first of all, for those first two projects, basically you just kind of wrote the songs and put them out there. There was really, you know, you didn't really have a big, you didn't have your back pocket full of songs to kind of choose from at the start. So I guess how long you've been going into co-writes, and is that kind of a new process for you? Like what's that been like learning to collaborate and yet still, you know, these songs at the end of the day are presented as your songs because they're on your record. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a certain type of day or individual or experience. And those, like, I didn't just come to town and just start writing with everybody or anybody. And I don't mean that in any kind of negative or positive way, but it's like one of those where I vividly remember my first kind of co-creator in music. I like to look at it and making things these days instead of like, at the end of the day, I'm going to write something that either I'm going to be able to play or the other person is going to be able to play, if not both. And so that right there automatically is like a good song is a good song. And so the first co-write I ever had was with who I call my guru now. He's like me in another life. You know, his name's Dave Panish, and he was the first person I'd ever collaborated on with a piece of music. And I look at it as collaboration more so than, you know, I'm going to write you this song or something, even though I can do that. And I enjoy doing that for film, but it's one of those things that you kind of learn quick. You get a tight circle, you know, of who really understands you and is on the same wavelength as you. As in, so when I'm going to release any kind of project of mine, if it's going to have a co-write on there, it's either going to be from a blood brother or blood sister, you know, or someone we just made a beautiful piece of art that day. You know, it's not going to be this like quest for this, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to say anything, you know, a quest for some kind of weird, you know, piece of metal, but it's like, you know, obviously we're going to try to write the best song, but just whatever. Or we're feeling, not to anybody else's stipulation.
It just seems like it'd be tough, like, you know, if you're not used to doing that, and then like you kind of said earlier, you're kind of when you're in that headspace, so and you're creating
first,
and it's like but to lay yourself, like, because you got to kind of make yourself vulnerable too to that person that you're working with, like, 100%. You got to lay it out there, and it seems like it would be really difficult to do, especially if you're new to it. It's got to be kind of something that you pick up along the way.
It's the most powerful tool, man. It really isn't. I used to shy away from when I felt nervous or like when something, it's like going on a bunch of first blind dates. It's like after a while, you kind of get good at it. You know what I mean? At least it's not as weird. You're not fumbling your phone or knocking the table over the first day. You're going to handle yourself with like, oh, you know, what can we get done here? And it's one of those things too, where there's a fine line of like, I don't know, just like being an open book. And when I'm in a room with someone creating, everything is on the table. I'll tell you my deepest, darkest secret. You tell me yours. And that's usually like, there ain't no time for ego or like hiding behind anything. It's like, usually the more vulnerable you can be, the better it's going to be, because other people have those feelings too. And it's not just, you know, putting more noise out in the air. That's just surface level songs.
Yep. Yeah. That's great.
Even though we need those as well. You know.
Do we?
I don't know. I let people, I don't know. I'm going to hold back my comment on that. No, I'm just
kidding. No, you're in a safe space here. We can say whatever we want.
This is the new baby right here, by the way. This is the new record. Ooh, on vinyl.
Damn.
Fans might
that
not have.
Is sharp.
But it's here. It is sharp. It's sharp.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a feeling.
Actually sitting beside it right here, my buddy's is this Chuck Berry obituary. That's pretty crazy.
Oh,
like
wow.
Actual from someone from his actual funeral. That's a piece of history.
Wild.
Right there.
No
How
shit,
did
man.
You get a hold of that?
How'd you get that?
It's a good friend of mine. It's a good friend of mine. He got it somehow.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. I wanted to ask
that
you. I had one more I kind of wanted to get into too, because we kind of talked about the sound at the very beginning of the podcast, and this was kind of my big takeaway. Was just like, I always find it funny when, you know, I think a lot of the time when journalists or whoever, fans, whoever it may be, try to put an artist kind of in a box, I always wonder what the artist actually thinks about a box that they may have been put in, as far as like whether it be, you know, sonically, like I guess we're just talking about genre. But to me, like when I listen to you, I like how Mike kind of described it at the start, because I feel like this thing it's super like Americana, because it's both country, it's equal parts country, I think, as it is kind of rock and roll, and it's kind of got a little bit of psychedelic even in there. Like I guess I don't know if this might be kind of a stupid question. I guess maybe you just want to comment on, you know, my thoughts on it, first of all, and maybe if you could, like, try to describe your own sound a little bit to everybody else.
Yeah, I'd say for this project in particular, like, I guess the mindset, we're moving things you said, but also, like, very, like, Quentin Tarantino, like a spaghetti western type thing. That's the kind of, like, if I were to make a soundtrack to, you know, Red Dead Redemption 5 reunion, you know, video game, it's this
That's
kind of
cool.
Vigilante, like, not really spaghetti western on purpose, but it's just this like devilish western blues play on that, you know. And you know, all the stuff set up is, it was never meant to be a conceptual record, but when you throw all these really random songs, although they might have a theme of hell or devil, it's like, there's so many layers to, like, I say it's like on the surface level, you know, people are going to hear this and be like, well, this is this really cool, like, devilish thing with titles like Lucifer. But it's like, if you listen to the last song, Lucifer, that not to mention is almost 9 minutes and 30 something seconds, like, we got away with being able to make art like that. That's freaking awesome. And two, it's like, that song is actually, you know, not about the negative, it's about the positive. It's actually, you know, it's kind of like every one of these songs, you know, whether it be taken as surface level, you know, dark and, you know, hellish, it's actually a redemption record if you really, really think about it all.
I like how you've described this. Like, I like how you've described your music. I like how you've described these experiences of co-writing, like, all throughout this podcast, because you always basically go back to the root of it's art, it's artwork, every bit of it, you know? Totally. And that's like, I assume that'd be easy to forget when shit's like rolling for you and you got, oh cool, I signed, you know, a deal to make a record in the first place. It'd probably be easy to get caught up and kind of forget that, but it seems like that's really at the forefront of everything you're doing,
totally.
Honestly.
Well, I think the biggest thing to me, it's been baffling that, you know, not to give myself any kind of like haughty praise or anything, but in, you know, 3 years time, you know, we turn around from, you know, just starting writing music to, you know, making these things like this. I mean this honestly from my heart. I've really just been myself. Like, I haven't been trying to, I do have inspirations and I do love certain things about things, but when someone asked me like, who's your inspiration as a songwriter, like someone asked me that the other day, and I'm like, I don't really have like that. Like, I have people that I like now know as I'm in the business, like, oh, I love his style of writing, but from day one it's always just been how I feel and, you know, channeling whatever needs to be said. You know, there's been two songs that I've ever written in my life out of all these, say, 100-200 songs that I knew I didn't write, you know, like Walk a Mile Drive on Jericho Rose. And that's when I knew I couldn't get home fast enough with like the melody and the first two lines. It's like, whatever it is that was needing me to write that and put that out into the world, you know, which I've had people come up and say that song saved their life before. It's like, I'm going to try to get myself as far out of the way and whatever may be divine, I want that thing to hit my antenna as much as he'll allow it. You know what I mean? It's like, so a lot of it is really just doing it for art's sake, you know, and no ego, really.
And that's beautiful,
man. That one's for the OGs, because Waccamaw Drive and Jericho Rose were the two songs we played on our second episode. So
those two were the first two. I had to leave Montana and a school I didn't already go to class for, and was like a nice little school, but I was just fishing all the time, and then had to leave all that goodness and then come back to a technical little dumpy technical college back home and be miserable, and then had to go to Art 101 as a third year student and learn what the Rose of Jericho was and 45th day of art, and I was like, I'm getting out of here, man. It's like, I've got Jericho Rose, we want to make music.
Love it.
Oh fuck, man.
And you could say it's poetry, man. A lot of it is poetic, especially that first stuff. Like, if you really read Jericho Rose, it reads off like a poem, you know.
I never
would have thought of myself as a language guy. I can barely speak my own language, and I'm not really good at I can't write, can't spell good. It's like, but if I have a knack for like just imagination on language and vocabulary, you know, the way things sound, you know, and, you know, phonics and how words lay together. I'm a nut about it these days.
There's nothing wrong with
like
that.
The first line, like I think of all the first lines of all my songs, and I'm like, it's gotta be, and it's not ever out of the sense of it's gotta be anything, but like it naturally falls into place. Like the first line of a song should really just take you out of your seat, whether that be like, you don't know what I just said, or it sounds really cool, but you don't know what it means, or it's just a great sentiment, you know, in life or something. Mm. And I don't know. It starts from there, I feel like, for me. And it's just going down the lines of doing the same thing on the first line. You know, I never knew what a chorus was. I never knew what a verse to a song was until I had a publishing deal. And they're like, you know, well, something melody. I'm like, what is a melody? I don't even know what a melody is. And it's like, you know, well, these things need to be certain chord structures. And I'm like, man, I don't know all that, man. I just write, you know? Yeah. So now I know these things, and it's great, and it has helped. But dude, you can, out of blindness, create some of the best stuff. Sometimes I don't know how to do really anything musically, like whether, you know, I know your basic chords on something, but other than that, I'm using stuff in different tunings that I don't even know. And some people are like, what you even play? And it's like, really just, I don't know. I just love making interesting sounds, and, you know, going on tour and stuff. This has proved my point. Every song's different every night. And I don't mean that like how a lot of people say it, but it's literally like, it's not too far off course to where it's bad. There's a fine line between making something different and bad, but it's always refreshing.
I was going to say, I'll go get my guitar. I'll make some interesting sounds for you, but no promises. Yeah. No promises on that being any good.
But all this record was made live, like me and Sean, first take, second take, like of Hell's Half Acre or Lucifer. And it's like, reason Lucifer's like 9-something minutes, because that was the first take. Sean was on drums and never even heard the song. And we were like, what is going on here? Like, this thing was made to be met.
That's bad.
Meant to be made. I said that backwards. See, made I can't to be even speak. Meant. Made to be met. That's your newest country song. Made to be met. Made to be met. If someone writes that, I got first.
I got it first.
Be met.
Well, Taylor, we're at the point of the podcast where we're going to make you answer a couple of rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
The number has actually probably gone down, as we're already at 620 here. So I'll start you off with
Mike's got new ones.
A slam dunk for you.
Go for it.
If your hometown was a food, what food would it be?
If my hometown was a food, what would it be? It would be, have to be boiled peanuts and low country boil on the weekends.
What the fuck is that question, dude?
Hey, it didn't scare me.
Oh god. Okay.
Hamburger helper would be a good tie now. I'd say on the weekdays, hamburger helper on the weekend, maybe a little low country boil.
All right. I'll ask you a food one too. What's the grossest thing you've ever seen somebody eat like it was normal?
Really, oyster sheeters, because I hate oyster sheeters. Nothing too gross. Squirrel brains too.
Squirrel brains. Squirrel all right. Brains. That's, yeah. I mean, that sounds kind of nasty.
Those two go together very badly.
Oh, I would imagine.
If you could get rid of 1 month out of the year, what month is going?
I'd have to say somewhere between April and that damn time of year. I don't like that one. April. My mom's birthday is in May, so I'm going to say April.
April's a good choice, I think.
My birthday's in April. Oh, well, I'll find a new day. It's okay.
It's always rainy and shit.
Yeah, I feel you. I don't blame you. So it's
a weird time of year for me. I love cold. I love hot.
What is your favorite line, if you can pick one, from the record?
That's a great question. I'd have to say my dad's favorite tune on the record's Man Out of Time, and it's more of an acoustic track, but there's a line in there, turned water to wine, and it was like, but if you listen to the record, it's like, for something divine, turn water to wine, and it's like, if you listen closely, it could sound like black water to wine, and when I sang it, I did stereo vocal on that. I said black water on one part, but on one I said just regular, you know, and I don't know. It's a weird one. That's not even a good one, but that's what comes to mind. Instead of turning water to the wine, it's turned black water to wine. Okay. You hear the difference in that? Like black water to wine, turn water to wine, black water to wine. I don't know.
Could go either way.
That's how weird my mind is with words. So I use both. What I'm saying is I use both. So you can go either way.
If you could interview a celebrity and ask them one question, who would you ask and what question would you say?
Dead or alive?
Either.
Jimi Hendrix. I'd love to have a meal with Jimi Hendrix and just ask him how he had the balls to burn his guitar on a stage while he was opening up for someone at a show. Just like whatever amount of courage that took. I want to know how he got away with it, because you can't even smoke inside these days.
That's a brilliant
answer. That's a good point. Do I got one more, or is that it, Mike? I got one more, don't I?
That can be it.
I think. No, I'll ask. I got a fairly easy one. What's your favorite song to cover?
All on the Watchtower, Jimi Hendrix.
Nice.
You know, it's a classic.
There we go. Keep rolling with the Hendrix.
Yeah. Because that's only really the only cover song besides Meet Me in the Morning, Bob Dylan. That's really the only two I know have ever really played cover wise.
Which you do very well, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
All right, well, that was it. I mean, you made it through the rapid fire. You made it through the podcast, actually, because we pretty much wrapped that. That's pretty much it. We're going to wrap things up. So it's like,
perfect.
So we got, Black Powder Soul, September 24th, 2021, everybody. I guess if you want to kind of wrap things up, why don't you tell everybody where they can go pre-order that vinyl that you got sitting beside you, and tell everybody where to go buy a t-shirt and support what you're doing, man.
Yeah, just over at the website, taylormccall.com, you can find everything you ever want or need there, and I'm trying to be good about all my socials, but the best place, you know, just for people to find me on what I'm doing day to day or trying to update the most is just Instagram. I have everything, and everything gets uploaded there, but if you're new and you want to keep up to date with, you know, the day to day or whatnot, Instagram's the best. I'm usually splashing some things that are going on. We're going to have some limited prints of this actual hand painted piece of art that Brett was selling for $800 back in the day, and I always wanted one. And he sent it to me when we got the record cover done. So now you'll be able to go get some of those in mini form yourself here soon. So stay up to date on that and the website.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Might get y'all one for free.
There you go. All right. Keep your eyes peeled. Well, man, it's a fucking outstanding record. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. And
thank you, brother.
Man, it's like I said, it's been a long time coming. Feels good to finally get you on the podcast.
Now, well, I'm glad y'all mentioned y'all played some of the early cuts on the second episode, man.
Yeah,
it all comes full circle, and I'm glad to see some faces. So that's awesome, man. Glad to meet y'all.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Likewise.
Thanks for doing this, man. And everybody, like Taylor said, go check out the record here coming this Friday. And Taylor, thanks for doing the podcast, man. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all so much. This is Taylor McCall, Hipson Cowboys Podcast, and you're about to hear Highway Whip.
I want to know the truth. Is it me? Is it you? Us or them, red, white, and blue. Living hard, living proof. Us or some, right or wrong. Oh, the list goes on and on. All I seen, still don't know what I see. On this road, I can rise like a mountain, roll like a river, run like a river through these old black hills. Bless my heart, I can't stand still. The devil don't kill me in the highway. The devil don't kill me. Feel it all. Farther to climb, further to fall. Out of the like, higher the wall. Out of is the wide you call. Memories and regrets. Love is lost and not loved yet. Sons of thunder, God's war. I'm still looking for. I can rise like a